listening to the Breakthrough Podcast. We hope you are encouraged by the message. Be sure to stick around for more at the end.
All right, guys. Like you said, my name's Tyler Tangle, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm the youth pastor at Sardis Baptist Church. I also play in the band with Anna and Scott and Abby. And I want to thank Scott for letting me come and speak to y'all tonight. When he asked me to speak, you know, I was kind of thinking on, you know, what to talk to y'all about and kind of what to speak about. And I know school's about to be starting back for most of y'all or all of y'all. And, you know, and I was thinking about what our jobs as Christians is and you know, what is it like to be a Christian? Well, we come up with the title Christian Living. And tonight we're going to talk about three topics. What does it mean to be a Christian? We're going to talk about how not to be ashamed of being a Christian. And thirdly, we're going to talk about our jobs as Christian. So if you would, turn to your Bibles if you have them. And I'm going to sit down and read. If you have them, turn to John 15, verses 1 through 20. And this is Jesus, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because you can do nothing without me, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you want and it will be given to you and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another and love as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore because slaves doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You do not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. If the world hates you, understand that the world hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. All right, so kind of what I want to talk about is producing fruit. But, you know, we kind of have to understand what is fruit. What is our fruit? How do we produce fruit? Well, you see, fruit is whenever we go out and we spread the gospel and we tell others about Jesus and what he's done for us and everything that he's done for us and we're building the kingdom of God. That's how you produce fruit. And I read 1 through 20, but I really want us to start in 13 and start digging in there. In verse 13, he kind of starts talking about how much God loves us. He talks about how he's our friend. So let's look there. He says, no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friend. So let's stop right there. He's telling us that, you know, the greatest show or the greatest act of love is to give your life for somebody. So if you give your life for your friend, you must really love that friend, right? Well, that's kind of what he's trying to get the point across here. In 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do everything I command you. I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends." So Jesus Christ is calling us his friends. We're not his slaves anymore. He said, "I don't call you slaves anymore. I call you my friends." So that's pretty awesome if you think about it. Because just think about this for a second. Jesus Christ, the man who came down from glory, he came down to this earth. He walked for 33 years. He took the cross. He took your death and my death that we deserved on the cross. He went down. He took the hell. He took the grave away from the devil down in hell. And he did that for me and you. He rose on the third day. This man is calling us his friend. Not only that, but he says, slaves anymore, because he says, "I have made you known everything I have heard from my Father." Okay, he says, "Because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father." So basically, he's saying, not only are my friends, but I tell you everything. Everything that I've heard from my Father, God in heaven, I have shown to you. Which is basically saying, you know, you're also my friends, but I'm not going to keep secrets from you. Because friends don't keep secrets from each other, do they? So God's not holding back anything to us. Well, it gets even better than that. Y'all, look in 16, it says, "You do not choose me, but I choose you. I appointed you that you should remain so that whatever..." I'm sorry, it says, "I appointed you so that you should go out and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another." Okay, so not only does he consider us friends, not only does he not hold secrets from us, it gets better than that. It says that he chose us. We didn't choose him. He appointed us to do God's work. We get to do the Lord's work, and that's awesome. We get to go out and produce fruit at our schools, at our work, at our sports activities. We get to go out and do the Lord's work, and that's an honor for us to do that. As we go on into 18, he starts to talk about the world. And he's actually kind of warning us of what is to come from the world. He's saying, oh, by the way, you know, basically it says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. So what he's saying is, if you're going to go out into the world and you're going to start producing fruit, if you're going to be on Jesus' team, well, guess what? The world's going to hate you. And when I say the world's going to hate you, I don't mean that planet Earth hates you. I don't mean a planet hates you. What I'm talking about is the devil. The devil and the world is the same thing. The world, when it's talking about the world, it's talking about the sin that's creeping in this world and it's looking out to devour you and ruin your relationship with Jesus Christ. See, I don't know about y'all, but I like to be a winner. I like to be on a winning team. And see, when you choose Jesus Christ, once he chooses you and you accept him, guess what? You win. You win in the end. And the world knows that, and the world hates that. And because of that, the world hates y'all. And it's doing everything it can to make y'all fall and stumble so you don't produce fruit. Jesus isn't saying this to discourage y'all. He's not saying this to discourage us. He's saying this to warn us. And he's basically saying, look, don't be discouraged by this because you got me on your side. You got me on your side. I'm all powerful. I'm your friend. I'm not holding secrets from you. I've appointed you to do this work. So don't be discouraged in that. You know, sometimes we get scared to spread the gospel. Sometimes we might even be a little bit ashamed. And you know, that's kind of sad. And that's kind of what I really want to get digging into tonight. And that's actually going to bring us to our next point. And it's in Romans 1:16. If y'all would, turn there and look there. It's only one verse. Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew and also the Greek." Now, this is Paul talking, and I loved Paul. Paul is an awesome man. He was not ashamed of the gospel, and he was only one man, and he definitely was not ashamed, because he knew two things that we need to realize. One, he knew he had Jesus on his side. And if Jesus be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Secondly, he knew the gospel that he was sharing with others, The gospel is the power of God. So, if you have the gospel in your heart, you think about this. You have the power of God. Do y'all understand that? The power of God. You know how strong that is? You know how powerful that is? Who can touch you if you have the power of God living inside of you? And if you're a Christian and you've accepted Jesus Christ, guess what? You have that. You share the gospel. You're sharing the power of God. The power of God who created everything with just his words. He said, let there be light. Boom, light. Whatever he wanted. He said it, it happened. That's what Paul had. So, you know, when we find ourselves like, you know, we find ourselves where we're kind of scared to share the gospel. And we're kind of, you know, worried what people's going to think, what the world's going to think. Don't worry about that. You worry about what Jesus thinks about you. You worry about what God has to say, because God's going to be there for you, especially if you stay in your Bible and you stay in prayer and you know what you're talking about. You know, you let God speak through you. I kind of want to ask y'all a pretty serious question. And I asked my youth group this, and they kind of looked at me and they thought about it a little bit. I'm going to ask y'all, how much do you really love Jesus? You think about that. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love him enough to just come on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and halfway stay awake through the services and halfway praise through some of the songs? Do you love him that much? Because let me tell you something. My King, my Lord, deserves better than that. And I'm talking about churches all across America, because we don't understand. Our King, our God, he's our King. If we say we're Christians, guess what? He's our King, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, and he deserves much better than that. He deserves everything that we can give him. Everything that we can give him. Because let me tell y'all something. Jesus loves you so much. He was sitting in a throne in heaven. He came down on earth as a baby. He lived his life sinless, by the way. He didn't commit a single sin. Then when his time came on the Mount of Olives, and the guards came up and they got him and they started spitting on him and beating him. For me and you, by the way. They took him to the Romans and they started beating him. They beat him so bad you couldn't even tell he was a human. That's in the Bible. You couldn't even tell he was a human. Can you imagine how bad that is to be beaten like that? And he didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it for no other reason but because he loved you and he wants you to spend eternity with him. He just wants you to love him back. He took that. Well, most anybody would probably have died of blood loss, but he was Jesus and he was all powerful, so he didn't. So he put a heavy cross on his back and he started walking up a steep mountain up to the top where they nailed him to that cross. Once he got it up there, they put him up there, and this is where it gets a little bit worse for him. He started taking all the sins that you have ever committed and that you'll ever commit, not just us in this room, but everyone who's ever lived and everyone who ever will live. He took that sin on that cross that day for me and you so we wouldn't have to pay it, so we wouldn't have to go to a devil's hell. He did that for me and you because he loves us that much. Once he took all that sin, God turned his back, couldn't look at him. Why couldn't he look at him? Because God can't look on sin. God's perfect. Jesus had so much sin on him, God couldn't look at him. So he, at that moment, Jesus was completely separate from God at that moment. Complete emptiness. Have y'all ever felt that emptiness? Because you've never felt it like this, I can guarantee it. When God completely won't even look at you. That's what happened to him on that cross. And then, let me say this, he gave his own life up. The Romans didn't kill him. Didn't nobody kill my King? I can promise you that. Nobody killed him. He gave his own life. He said, I give my spirit up. And he gave his spirit up. Then he went down to hell and he took the keys away from Satan. And he said, you can't have this no more, because my friends, My friends, the humans, I love them so much. I want to save them. I'm coming to save my children. You can't do this. And in the morning, he took the keys away from him, and he went back, and he arose on the third day for me and you. And all we can merge out is to come on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and halfway stay awake. And we don't read our Bibles, and we don't pray to him unless something bad's happening. And we can halfway throw our hands up, but we're probably thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow instead of giving him our full attention. He deserves better than that. And I'm saying, I'm not telling y'all this to discourage you. I'm telling this to light a fire under you, because it starts right here in Noxipater. Because Paul was one man and you saw what he did. But we're so blessed where we are right now, because Paul didn't have the resources that we have today. You think of one man that was dedicated and was not ashamed of the gospel. Think about 5. Think about 10. Think about 20. Think about 50, 100. What can that do? And it starts right here in Noxipater, y'all. It starts right here in your schools, at your work, at your sports activities. Whatever you do, it starts right here with y'all. Start loving Jesus. Start spreading the gospel. I kind of want to talk about what our job as Christian is. And if you will, turn to Ezekiel 33 with me. Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 7. And actually, this is one of my favorite things to come out of. Ezekiel 33, verse 7, it says, "As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning for me. If I say to the wicked, 'Wicked one, you will surely die,' but you do not speak out to warn him about his way, that wicked person will die in his iniquity, yet I will hold you responsible for his blood. But if you warn a wicked person to turn from his way, and he does not turn from it, he will die in his iniquity, but you have saved your life." Let's think about that for a second. Let's put that in our terms. Obviously, none of us are in Israel, so you kind of have to look at it like this. "As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Noxipater. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning for me. If you say to the wicked man, if I say to the wicked man, 'Wicked one, you will surely die,' but you do not speak to warn him, he will die, and I will hold his blood at your hands." Think about that for a second. Whenever, wherever you are, maybe it's at Woody's, maybe it's at your schools, maybe it's at your job place, wherever it might be, and you're a Christian and you're saved, and you have Jesus living inside of you, well, guess what? You have that power. You have the power of God living inside of you, and that person needs to hear it, because it's our job to produce fruit. So wherever you are, say you're at Woody's, and there's someone you meet, and you miss that opportunity to spread the gospel to him. Maybe he's not a wicked man. Maybe he's a good guy. He just don't know Jesus, but he's still lost. He's still lost. And you didn't share the gospel to him. You missed your opportunity. Well, guess what? When that man dies and he doesn't know Jesus, he's going to go to hell. But the Bible says, because you know the gospel, you know the cure for his lost soul, which is Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. You have that in you. You didn't share that with him. Guess what? That's your responsibility. I like that old saying, with great power comes great responsibility. Well, guess what? Jesus said that he has appointed us to go out and produce fruit. That's a big responsibility. That's a big responsibility. So with great power is great responsibility. So that guy's hand, or that person's blood, is at our hands if we didn't witness to him. Okay, let's turn around and look at it again, like it goes on to say. Say same scenario, except this time you witness to him. Maybe it's through your actions. Maybe you actually did speak to him about the gospel. Maybe he was like, "Hey man, I got this burden. I got to ask you something. You know, do you know Jesus Christ?" You know, and a lot of times you're going to get, "I don't want to hear about that." And he walks off. And that's the only thing you got to say to him. Well, guess what? You show Jesus to him. And that's what it says. That's all you have to do. It says, if you warn a man from his wicked ways, but he doesn't listen, he'll still die in his iniquity. But you have saved your soul because you did what you're supposed to do. You shared the gospel. You was being a witness. It's very important, guys. It's very, very important. You know, the first important thing in your lives is to accept Jesus yourselves. if you don't have Jesus living in your heart right now, I encourage you to do that, especially if he's tugging at you, because I know we're all young in here, but we're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised this next breath. So if you don't know Jesus, I encourage you to get to know him and let him save you. Because, y'all, it's awesome. But a lot of Christians believe when you come down to this altar and you kneel down and you say the prayer and you get up, you're done. No, you're not done. That's not where, that's the starting line. That's where it begins. Once you raise up from that altar, it's time to get to work. It's time to search and rescue. We got to have a burden for lost souls because they're everywhere. In fact, there's probably some in this church, you wouldn't know it, but a study shows out of this group, this many saved. And that's sad. Another scenario for you is 10 out of 10 people are going to die. Think about that for a second. 10 out of 10 people is going to die. That means you're going to die one day. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this next second. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, I urge you, I encourage you, please, please accept him, especially if he's tugging on you, because we don't know when our last breath's going to be. If you are a Christian, I encourage you tonight, get on fire for God. Get on fire and go out and spread the gospel. Go out and tell him what he's done for you, and you might be sitting there and you're like, well, Tyler, I can't speak. I'm not a preacher. I can't do these things. I can't be a witness. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I can't be a teacher. I can't be a Sunday school this, that. And well, here's the thing. If Jesus has done something good in your life, you have something to share. Someone needs to hear that. If you've been saved by Jesus Christ, no matter how old you are, you have something to share. You can be a witness. You can be a witness to somebody, and you can start producing fruit. So I encourage you, if you know Jesus, take it the next step. Take it the next step. And it's not that it's something that you're supposed to do, although it is. It should be something that you want to do. You should have a burden for lost souls. You should want to go out and lead others to Christ through Jesus, because you have that power inside of you if you know Jesus. It's like, Trevor, I'm going to pick on you. Trevor, if you had the cure for cancer, are you going to keep it to yourself? You're going to tell everybody, ain't you? You're going to go to the doctors and say, hey, look what I got, the cure for cancer. Well, guess what? If you know Jesus Christ, you got the cure for lost souls, which is way more important, because cancer is for a lifetime, but being lost is an eternity. So if you got that power, if you know the cure to being lost, why ain't we sharing it with others? Why aren't we going out and sharing it with everybody we know? Everybody we know. So I encourage you, as you start to back to school, when you start to go back to work, whenever you start playing sports, whether it be through your actions, whether it be through your words, let everything you do reflect Jesus. I'm going to call the band back up, and I kind of want to talk to y'all a little bit about if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ. Guys, take it serious. Listen close. Every time you pass a car, you're 3 feet from death. Every time you meet a car, you're 3 feet from death. You're not promised tomorrow. I know we're all young, but that don't mean nothing. I've had a boy in the last 2 months. He was 16, and he died from a fatal gun accident. He thought he had the world ahead of him. He thought he had the world ahead of him, but he was only 16. Car wrecks every day, guys. Accidents happen. Don't walk out of this door. Don't walk out of that door without Jesus Christ. I'll talk to you about it. Scott will be more than happy to be pulled off of that guitar to talk to you about it, and we'll stay all night. But if you don't know Jesus, please, please, please know him tonight, because he loves you, and he wants to know you. He wants to know you. And once you do become saved, start the mission right now to go bring in lost souls in. Tell them about Jesus. Plant the seeds. There's three things I can guarantee y'all tonight. There's only three things I can guarantee y'all. One is Jesus is real and he's coming back. Number two, when I die, I'm going to glory. And three, y'all are going to die if Jesus doesn't come back first. So please, take it serious. Take it serious. Where are you going to be 5 minutes after you die? 5 minutes after you die, are you going to be in heaven worshiping the Almighty King? Are you going to be in hell? It's only two places. Wishing you'd have took it just a little bit more serious. Let's pray.
For more information on Breakthrough Ministries, follow us on Twitter at BreakthroughMI or visit our blog at www.breakthroughministry.wordpress.com.
Hey guys, this is Scott. I'm the pastor at Breakthrough Ministry. Sitting here with Tyler Tingle tonight. He spoke and brought God's word, and it was just an awesome service. And we just finished up the worship service. We just wrapped everything up, and I'm sitting here with him, and I'm going to let him kind of introduce himself and kind of talk a little about, you know, what is going on in his life. So, Tyler?
Yeah, man, I thought it went well. I'm actually the youth pastor at Sardis. This September will be a year, and things are going well there. I believe like it's growing well, and also play in a band, Edify, play the bass, and it's going really well from where we started. We've been really blessed in that, and actually got a show coming up on the 9th and 10th. I think you're going to hit on that a little later on.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that September will be a year for you at Sardis. It's kind of funny. Tonight was actually my year anniversary being here at Knoxville Peter Baptist, and it's been an awesome experience. I kind of told the guys and the girls out there earlier that a year ago today was my first Wednesday night as youth pastor, and we had me, my wife, and like four other youth, and that was it. And I brought a whole bunch of pizza and stuff, and thought it was gonna be a whole bunch of them show up, and it was the week of the fair, of course, and I had four youth show up, and tonight we had I counted it was right at 40. So God's definitely moving in the young people, and it's exciting. And to all the youth and all the kids that came, despite this being the Fair Wednesday, I just really want to say thank you to you guys for showing your faithfulness and your commitment and showing up. And that really means a lot to me, and I know it meant a lot to Tyler because he was speaking tonight. But we're just going to dive in to just kind of wrap it up and kind of put a bow on it from the service. You know, to Tyler, what do you think about the service tonight, as far as like the atmosphere and the worship, and just give us your opinion on kind of how you felt things went?
Well, I could really tell that the Spirit was moving, and like you said, you know, me and you, we've been friends almost 2 years, and I can remember when you took the job as youth pastor, and I actually came to a few of the Wednesday nights with you when you took over, and how you know, it's been growing in the atmosphere, but like you said, from a year ago to now, you know, from me coming back from a year, I can really tell how God has been working and moving in your ministry and in the lives of these students, and how they have really grown and just really dedicated and on fire. And I can just tell they were really in tune while I was speaking. And you know, you don't get that a lot in young people, but they really seem to care about this. And even in the worship part of the service, you know, they were all really seeking God's face and praising His name.
Yeah, it's like the whole atmosphere from the first song to the message to the final few songs. It was just like you could tell that the kids that were here were the ones that were fully committed and fully wanted to be here, and they came with the purpose of worshiping God. And you could just tell that the Spirit just moved throughout the room, and it was really an awesome time of worship, and that a lot of that goes to song selection and things like that. You know, our worship team, our worship band did a great job of picking songs and things in order. And shout out to Colton. You know, this is his last Wednesday night playing the drums with us. He is going to be going to East Central. He's going to be on the drum line there at East Central. And best wishes to him. I'll be praying for him. Hope everything goes great. Maybe he'll come back and visit us some. But since it was his last Wednesday night, I let him pick all the songs that we did, and he chose some great songs that would just there were songs that were perfect for the night. They were perfect for the movement of the Spirit. It just, it worked. Just, it was, the songs made it just easy to worship, and it made it easy just to accept God and His presence being there. And it was just a great time. You know, Tyler, you spoke tonight, and I didn't, obviously, and you hit on Christian living, on what it was like, to live as a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, not just, you know, claiming to be a Christian, but actually living the lifestyle of a Christian, what it's like to be a real deal, legit, you know, follower of Christ.
Right.
And if, you know, is there anything that, you know, you wanted to emphasize, like put more emphasis on, or anything you wanted to dive in more in depth about your message that you know, had the chance now that you can, in the podcast, the wrap up, you know, you can hit it a little harder if you wanted to?
Well, you know, the big two things we talked about tonight was not being ashamed of being a Christian, because, you know, Hollywood and the world makes Christians out to be weak and simple-minded, and, you know, you see it on television and on the radio and this and that. Every time a Christian's mentioned, you know, they're made out to be weak or soft. But, you know, that really fires me up. I really don't think that at all, because, like we talk about tonight, how the world, you know, the world hates you if Jesus is choosing you out of the world, you know, and the world doesn't want anything to do with you if you're a Christian. Well, you know, it takes a strong person. It takes someone with a lot of guts to spread the gospel who is being ridiculed for what they believe in. And, you know, Christians all over, and I can tell with your youth group, especially the core, you know, they're out there trying to bring others in, and they're out there, you know, trying to witness. And I know it's hard, especially in your teenage years, because, you know, that's not the cool thing to do in the world's eyes. But you know, I don't think Christians are soft at all, especially, you know, it takes a lot of courage to witness to somebody. Being unashamed of the gospel. And we also talked about being a witness. And that's a big point I like to hit on is, you know, a lot of people think once you say that prayer and you get up and you know, that's the end. But, you know, that's actually the starting line. We talked about that tonight, how, you know, once you get up, you know, you start from there. You have to start bringing in lost souls. You have to start having a burden for lost people. You got to spread the gospel and tell people what Jesus did for you. And that's just a big thing I like to hit on, especially with young people, is, you know, getting saved, you know, getting your fire insurance, as people may say, isn't what it's all about. It's growing in Christ, seeking His face, and bringing lost souls to the kingdom of heaven.
And something you mentioned in your sermon tonight that stuck out to me is you actually called Trevor out during the sermon and kind of picked on him a little bit. We love Trevor, love you, Trevor. you said, Trevor, if you had the cure for cancer and you knew the cure for cancer, if you had it, would you keep it for yourself or would you share it with others? And he responded that he would share it with others. And you know, having the cure for cancer will be an awesome thing, but what we possess, in the power of Jesus, of God that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, that living inside, what we possess is far greater than any cure to any disease that this world has, because the having Jesus Christ is the ultimate cure. It's the ultimate cure for this disease called sin, which leads to death. And I really like that point you brought out, that, you know, to actually put it in a tangible way we can think about it, how if we possessed a cure for disease, we would share it with everybody because our love for everybody. Well, at the same time, we're all possessing this disease called sin.
Right.
And Jesus Christ comes in and wipes it out, and He's the cure. So why would we not want to go out and share that cure with others? And I really like that point. It was just a really, really great way to bring that out.
Yeah, I mean, like, we hear it all the time, you know, we're supposed to go out and spread the gospel. We're supposed to go out and preach, and we hear that so much, and the young people, we tell that to them, but sometimes I just don't feel like we really grasp the power that we have in us. And actually, in Romans 1:16, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God, and we know that the power of God is the best power there is, but we don't really grasp it. I think young people don't really understand what they have in them once they have Jesus Christ. You know, And I really wanted a way to really make them think and shake them up. And you know, like I said, if you had the cure for cancer, no one would keep that to themselves. They would explain it. And like I said, tonight, we have something much greater. Cancer is but for a lifetime, but a lost person, you know, a lost soul, that's for an eternity. And so it's far more important if you think about it, because, you know, we all have that. We all have the cure inside of us, which is the blood of Jesus. And, you know, we should want to share that. We should want to give that to others so that they can have what we possess, and that's Jesus.
Amen to that, man. That's nailing the head right there. And, you know, I just wanted to thank you for coming and, you know, letting God use you and you delivering the message the way you did. I thought it was just really powerful, and I felt like, you know, that it really spoke directly to our hearts and not over our heads. And that's a lot of times, you know, when you're dealing with young people, if you don't watch it, you know, you can be sitting there talking and they're just off in outer space because they don't realize what you're even talking about. But I feel like the message was just directly to the heart. And that's definitely, you know, with the help of God, of course. But, you know, I just want to thank you again for coming and speaking. Just like you said, you're the youth pastor over at Sardis Baptist Church in Philadelphia. Yeah. Just real briefly, how are things going over there? What's going on with y'all?
Oh, really well. We've actually, in the past two Sundays, we've actually had 8 new members join, and it's been really awesome. We've had some youth come in, and things are just going really well. I feel like the Spirit's really working there. It's a real loving church. Everybody there gets along, and you know, it's pretty much in one accord. But again, I want to thank you for allowing me to come and speak to your youth, and all glory goes to God, and everything that I said, he was just speaking through me. And also, I'm going to give a little shout out to Trevor. I know I picked on him tonight. He's my buddy. But give you a little shout out there, Trevor. You're going down on the 10th, just so you know.
Well, speaking of the 10th, we have to bring up the 9th first. But, you know, me and Tyler, we play in a band called Edify. And actually, on August the 9th, it's a Friday, at 6 o'clock, Rich Miller will be here at Knox Better Baptist.
Great,
yeah, great guy. Love you, Rich. You're a great guy, very inspirational, very fiery guy. He gets really into it, and he gets you all pumped up, and he gets you really excited to be a Christian.
Every time I hear him speak, I just want to headbutt the wall. That's how I pump up you get. He just gets you so pumped up.
He gets you so pumped up, you just want to headbutt something.
You want to punch the devil in the face.
You want to headbutt something in the name of Christ.
Amen.
It's awesome. But Rich is going to be here delivering the message, and Edify is going to be leading worship. And we actually extended a challenge out to my youth group tonight, and I'm going to extend the challenge even further out into the, you know, the world wide web here to all you listeners out there. On that night, the 9th, for every I'm going to change it, Tyler. I'm not going to do just teenagers.
Okay.
For every person that comes to that Friday night worship service on the 9th. It starts at 6 o'clock. Every person that comes to that door to worship Jesus Christ, we're going to count them. We're going to count them. And that Saturday, that following day, the 10th, however many people come, if it's 300 people, it's 300 people. If however many people come, that next day, me and Tyler are going to eat a hot wing for every person that comes to that Friday night worship service.
There's also another challenge.
There is also another challenge that was set out. And, you know, you talked about a while ago about how you could, in my youth group, you see how the core has a burden to invite people to church and things like that. And I wanted to spark that even more. And I told them that if they could fill the church up, which is about 300 people, that'll be pretty much filling up our church. If they could fill the church up, if they could get 300 people there, I'm going to let them shave my head. So,
I think they're going to do it, man. I think it's going to get shaved.
I doubt it. but that's a challenge I want to extend to everyone now that I've brought it onto the podcast. Show up Friday night. Show up, support Rich, support Edify, and support and come out and just to worship Christ. Just to have a fun time of fellowship, worshiping, you know, our Savior. And for every person there, me and Tyler, Saturday, we're going to video it. We're going to put it on YouTube. We're gonna eat a wing for every person there. So 500 people's there.
We're gonna be sick as dogs.
We're gonna eat 500 wings, and we're gonna put it on YouTube. God, I hope we can eat that many wings. And if 500 people show up, that means the church will be packed out, and I will have a shaved head that Saturday night. I'm gonna do it that Saturday if that happens. So that's the challenge, and just to go ahead and further extend this. That Saturday, the 10th, we're also having another service here, and it's going to be a concert for a back-to-school concert. Edify is going to be leading worship, and it's going to be just a fun time for the kids to come in. We're going to have an atmosphere set up where they can just really, you know, get into it and enjoy it and have a great time, you know, worshiping Christ. And it's going to be a way for us to be able to pray over them as a whole as they go back to school that week, because this is going to be like our back-to-school kickoff. So just dates to remember. August 9th at 6 o'clock, Rich Miller speaking. Everybody that comes gets I ate a chicken wing for. And then if enough people come, about 300, I'm going to shave my head. And then the 10th at 6 o'clock, back-to-school concert. And it's a back-to-school concert, but adults are welcome too. We'd love to have anybody and everybody, you know. And if we fill it up Saturday night, I might do something even crazier. Who knows? I might think of something to do. I really want to get the youth in the community up here for this weekend so we can pray over them, so we can go over, you know, just really hit on Christian living again, and just hit on being a witness, and just really being able to worship Christ together, and to be able to pray over all these kids. And I think it'd be a great, you know, opportunity. And I know a lot of other things are probably going on that weekend. That's a busy weekend. But before football starts, and before, you know, slow pitch softball kicks off and all these things start up, you know, we wanted to have a couple of days where we could, you know, really reach out to the youth in the community and let them know that, you know, there is a Savior out there that loves them and that has died for them. And that's the important thing, that if it's just one person from this weekend gets saved, then it's all worth it. Every single bit of it. Amen. Well, I think that's about it. I think that's it. I think it was a great service. I think it was a, you know, awesome time of worship. And for more information on Breakthrough, you can visit our blog at www.breakthroughministry.wordpress.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at BreakthroughMI. That's the @ BREAK. THROUGHMI at BreakthroughMI. That's about it, guys. Tyler, you got anything else you want to add?
Yeah.
What's supposed to happen?
Shaggy, you sure do look quiet over there. Have you been having a good time? Like, yeah.
Apparently, Shaggy Rogers is in the room with us. That's going to be it, guys. Thanks. God bless y'all. Go out there and be lights this week. Hope to see y'all next week. See ya.